Hello and welcome back to Why Such a Fuss podcast. Today we're joined once again by Annie McNeely, who is an ISO 9001 practitioner, and we're going to be talking about business continuity. Before we delve into the details, it's worth explaining what is a business continuity and why it's important for our audience. So basically, business continuity is the organization ability to maintain critical business functions during a disaster and also after it has occurred. It is a process-driven approach that enables the organization to maintain operations in the event of an unplanned disruption, such as a cyber attack, a natural disaster, or a pandemic. Normally, this is achieved via a business continuity plan that establish what actions or steps are required to maintain critical services and how to reinstate normal operation as quickly and as smoothly as possible. Now, the business continuity plan should cover the entire business. So that means processes, assets, personnel, and more. It is not focused solely on the IT and system. So going back of the holistic approach, as we keep mentioning in the last few episodes, when working with my clients, we always create a business continuity plan for each department because that helps to go into much more details. Now, Annie, I know that the ISO standard refers to contingencies. So I think it would be interesting for our audience to understand why it is critical, in particularly for the ISO 9001.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the primary purpose of having a quality management system in place is to optimize and continually improve customer satisfaction. That's your ultimate aim. And of course, anything which disrupts your operations will have a negative impact or has the potential to have a negative impact on customer satisfaction. So the standard, and this relates to risk management as well, which we talked about in our last podcast, standard requires you to look at contingencies. And having contingencies in place is essentially a risk management element. And in terms of minimizing that particular risk, the easiest way to sort of tick that box from an ISO quality management perspective is to have a business continuity plan in place that covers multiple contingencies for multiple scenarios, and at the same time manages several of the risks. There are different type of risk to the sort of business risks that might come up due to supply chain issues, for example, or cost increases and things like that. These are the sort of more almost generic risks, if you like, but still, by having by having a business continuity plan in place, you've killed two birds. You've managed the contingency side, but you've also managed the risk element. And yeah, essentially that's what it comes down to. The standard doesn't say to you, you must have a business continuity plan, but in reality, pretty much every quality management system or most quality management systems will include a business continuity plan because it covers those things. It doesn't have to be super complicated. It needs to identify the types of things that you're going to have to deal with. As you rightly said, it could be a public health issue, an environmental issue, an IT issue, for example. Who needs to do what? So, you know, communications cascades, roles and responsibilities, all of that stuff needs to be covered. And the key thing, as with processes in a system as well, the key thing is once you've got that plan pulled together is that everyone is aware of it and has read it and understands it. Because it's not uncommon for a business to have a business continuity plan, but most of the business don't know anything about it, in which case it doesn't work. So the key thing is to make sure that it's communicated and distributed. And the other thing is to make sure that it's updated. It needs to be reviewed and updated periodically, just like your processes have to be reviewed and updated. Your business continuity plan needs to be reviewed and updated and kept up to speed. Because if it's 5 years old and half the people on the list have left the business, you're not going to be very agile when that issue kicks in. So management of your business continuity plan is important too.
Yes, absolutely. And there's no point in having a ministry's continuity plan kept in a cupboard and nobody knows about it.
Exactly. Unfortunately, alarmingly common, unfortunately. But yeah, it just
It
defeats its own purpose if that happens.
is. Absolutely. And quite rightly, as you said, you mentioned risk management. And the way I see a business continuity plan is actually it's a mitigation towards the risk. That's, it's a mitigation plan towards a potential risk that might happen. And actually, it does feature in GDPR as well, believe it or not. And the reason is that many organizations have the obligation to maintain confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the data. And therefore, should an unexpected event occur that prevents the organization from accessing or from maintaining confidentiality or integrity, there would be a data breach. So the business continuity plan should kick in to help the organization recover the data. An organization are then required to being able to ensure the resilience of their system and services, which include processes, and therefore assess and make sure that the system can continue. So for system also means processing, not just IT, functioning as, whether it's a result of a physical or technical incident. And therefore, then for the ability to the organization to restore business as usual as effectively and as agile as possible. So as part of any GDPR implementation with my clients, I always make sure that there is a business continuity plan in place that gets communicated to the key bit.
And I think it's a bit like risk management as well. It doesn't matter either. It doesn't matter what your business does. It doesn't matter whether you're going for quality certification or not. None of that matters. It's just a good thing. Good practice to have that in your business regardless. And whilst normally I don't particularly advocate using something off the shelf, if you're a small business in particular and you want to tackle that, you can find templates and things online which are a useful, really useful starting point. You can adapt it to suit your business, but it'll give you the headings that you need to think about. And just going through that process of thinking about what are the types of things that could affect us in our business and how would we manage that can lead on to all sorts of other good, useful developments like processes, like change management, like cross training. You know, what happens if half of our business is off because there's another lockdown or there's another COVID type breakout? Suddenly we've realized that we need to do some cross training and things. So lots can come out of doing a business continuity plan. And when I'm working with my clients, it's one of the things that I do quite early on, because it can flag up all sorts of other things that are useful to the business. But it's undeniably it's a good idea to have a business continuity plan, even if it's very basic, it's better than nothing.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really interesting you said, because I'm thinking of my one of my digital product, the GDPR toolkit. I've included in that the risk management templates framework, the business continuity plan template that can be customized, a change management process with supporting material. Thinking about it, all of that, it's included in the GDPR toolkit to help small businesses to implement these best practices, if you want, to help them to manage their business more effectively and efficiently, not just from a GDPR perspective, but again, holistically. So that goes towards quality management, it goes towards GDPR, it goes towards many standards and regulations, really. And if you think about health and safety as well, the data breach log that as a template that's in the GDPR toolkit, it can be customized to capture health and safety incidents, for example. So it covers multiple or ticks multiple boxes, so to speak.
It absolutely does. And that's why going through that process of creating that plan can pick up all sorts of other stuff, which is really useful. One other thing I would say, and I encounter this quite when I first start talking to clients about business continuity, this isn't an uncommon conversation. So sometimes people think they think the sort of worst case scenario, if you like. So especially if it's a physical business like manufacturing, for example, the response is often, well, if our factory burns down, there's nothing we can do. Well, you can't magically reinstate your factory, but there are things that you should and can be doing, even in that scenario. You're going to talk to your landlords, you're going to be talking to your insurers, you're going to be creating some expectation management for your customers and forward planning and, you know, all the other things you need to do to get to the point where you can reinstate your factory, as an example. So that initial reaction of there's just nothing, it's a disaster, there's nothing we can do, is a really common response when they first start thinking about it. And it's not always about that kind of instant fix. It's everything that you have to do as a business until you can get back to the point where your core operations are back up and running, which obviously is the aim, but there's all the other stuff you have to do before you get to that point.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people think that because they can't magically click their fingers and get their factory back up and running, there's no point in having a plan. But it's the opposite of that is actually the case. So
yes, because you know, while you are working to get yourself back up and running, you've got to communicate to your stakeholders, of which clients are some of them, but also your vendors and your suppliers.
All your interested parties.
All your employees. Yeah. So you need
what's the messaging?
In your plan.
Yeah. What's the messaging? Who do we need to get it to? Who's going to be responsible for that? How often are we going to do it? You know, and that will vary from incident to incident, but at least having an understanding of the management that needs to happen of that, you know, will make it a lot easier if and when that day comes. So,
yeah. Thank you, Annie, for joining us again today. A real pleasure to have you.
And, thank you.
You're welcome. And can you let our audience know how they can in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Annie McNeely, or you can look at my business name, which is AMC ISO Services. And my LinkedIn page includes my email address if you want to get hold of me by email. And my website is anniemcneely.co.uk.
Thank you very much, Annie. And if any of our audience would like to get in touch with me with regards to GDPR and understand a bit more how it works for them, I can be contacted at info@cvgsolutions.co.uk. Alternatively, you can find me on various social media channels, just such as LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for CVG Solutions. And our website is cvgsolutions.co.uk. Thank you very much for listening. See you all in the next episode.